How does Christianity compare with Islam, Mormonism, skepticism, Buddhism, Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses, and other world religions? You'll find answers in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Christian Difference. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about The Christian Difference at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Christian Difference.
Anybody who's ever been to a bar at 9 p.m. and then again at 3 a.m. knows that alcohol disinhibits people and causes violence. And I don't quite understand why marijuana users have such a hard time getting their heads around the idea that marijuana might be the same.
I'll tell you what women's sins are. Number one, not knowing how beautiful you are. That's what the Dove Campaign for Beauty was about. Number two, not taking time for yourself. Number three, giving too much. These are women's sins.
According to Chrysostom, the priest stands daily at the altar inviting some to communion and keeping back others. You know, so closed communion is, it's a biblical practice. It also is a confessional practice. I mean, our confessions refer to it.
The basis of false doctrine is where our word trumps God's word. Self-justification, our word trumps the judgment of God's law.
Uber drivers around the world love listening to Issues Etc. on demand while we're waiting for a ride request.
As often as we have discussed evolution here on Issues Etc., we've discussed it a lot. The guests are often quick to point out that there are gaps in the evidence, the archaeological evidence, in particular for human and other biological evolution, those gaps being what is usually called the transitional forms, where we're going from one species to another species. You can find evidence leading up to and going away from, but where are those transitional forms? It's often asked. Well, lately, someone has claimed to discover precisely that, the old-fashioned missing link in human evolution. We're going to be talking about that here on this Tuesday afternoon, January the 22nd. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Joining us to talk about the claimed discovery of a missing link in human evolution, Brian Thomas. He's a science writer for the Institute for Creation Research, and he has a bachelor's degree in biology and a master's in biotechnology from Stephen F. Austin State University. He's author of the book Dinosaurs and the Bible. Brian, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much, Todd.
For the evolutionary apologist, how important are these transitional forms in the archaeological record?
Well, I would say they're important enough for them to spend gallons of ink trying to describe and find them. They're important enough for Darwin in his seminal book on the Origin of Species to dedicate a whole chapter explaining why we don't see transitions. And now, over 100 years later, we still don't see transitions. And so they've been looking and looking and looking. And since Darwin wrote those arguments, most fossils have been discovered. And you'd think that in all these discoveries in the last century that we'd find plenty of transitional forms. And in fact, if the fossils really indicate a record, as they claim, of evolution from something not human all the way up to humans, that really most of the fossils should show some kind of transition rather than showing evidence of stable kinds, stably reproducing life forms, for example, ape versus a human versus a bear, etc. But instead, they found stably reproducing forms. Well, not reproducing, because it's a fossil and they don't reproduce anymore, but what looked like creatures that reproduced within a stable form. So they definitely find distinct breaks between forms. How important is it? They would love to find a transitional form, and they've been searching and writing and saying, maybe this one. And then another evolutionary theorist will come along and say, well, but the evidence really doesn't support that one. Well, maybe that one. Well, and there's always the counter view from within their own community that lets us know that these are not objective statements and claims being made. They're just subjective. One guy says he wants to see transition here, but another, maybe more honest guy from within their own camp says, yeah, but it's not really objective.
So you mentioned Darwin. How did he explain the lack of transitional forms?
He said in his chapter on it that The reason we don't see transitional forms, like my theory suggests, should be there is because we just haven't looked at enough fossils yet. We haven't dug at enough places yet. And so that's what he said back then. But now we have dug in enough places, and we've got a tight and clear picture of what fossil forms looked like all over the world in all the different fossil dig sites. That's what we consistently see, stable forms. Now, variation within the form, sure. I mean, you have Triceratops, Torosaurus, and all these different dinosaur creatures with the bony frill on the back of its head, short neck. But they're all ceratopsian. So you may have three horns, it may have no horns, but it's still ceratopsian. So there's no, what we need, in order to be confident that evolution is really the explanation for how living creatures got here, what we need is a not quite yet ceratopsian becoming ceratopsian. But instead we have, it's either a ceratopsian or it's not at all. And that's what we find with every creature, plant, and animal in the fossil record. Variation within a kind, but still stable kinds. Of course, that's consistent with what we see in living creatures today.
So Darwin's assertion was these forms exist, we just haven't found them yet. That's the essence of his argument there.
That's right, yeah.
So not a very scientific statement. It's more of an assertion than anything based upon actual evidence. He's actually arguing that the lack of evidence doesn't really matter. We'll find one eventually.
Darwin was not a great scientist. He was a great storyteller. And he was good at convincing people of a view of the world, but he did not do what scientists are supposed to do, which is start with the data, gather lots of data, and see if there's any trends in those data. He didn't do that at all. He just said, look, he started telling stories. These creatures changed slowly, gradually into those creatures, and it explains how we got here. Ta-da! Well, I mean, I could say that, there's Martians on the moon. It's just stories.
So what is being claimed with the discovery of what has been labeled Australopithecus sediba? What's being claimed with this discovery?
The headlines put out these claims, right? And the claim is missing link found, those kinds of claims. I mean, I'm not giving you quotes or anything, but that's what copy editors that work for news organizations have to say something to gather your interest so you'll read the article. So they're making claims that suggest that this fossil is a pre-human. It's an ape-like human. So it shows evidence that we modern humans evolved from an ape-like ancestor, and this is one of those ancestors, and it's a transitional form, Australopithecus sediba. That's the claim. But they've been making that claim ever since they first started describing it in 2009, and here 10 years later, they're just making the same claim. In 2009, they published papers on this, describing these fossils, collection fossils. In 2010, they published more, and then evolutionary colleagues published rebuttals saying, no, it's not transitional. Then in 2011, the guys who want to promote sediba as a transitional form rebutted those and said, yes, it is transitional. And then since then, so it just goes back and forth. Papers published almost every year since then, and now there's nothing much new except that they have more detailed descriptions of the same fossil collection, and they've got them all published in a special issue of a journal, and it's basically a media campaign more than a objective scientific approach.
So the picture here is that there are some fossils found of a early hominid. They look at the bones such as they have them, and I'm often shocked at how few bones they actually have in these fossils. They conjecture most of the rest of the creature there. And then they look at, in detail, at the bones to try and find slight differences between those and others that have been found allegedly before and after. Is that as simple as it gets?
I think that's accurate to say it that way. They're looking at tiny little, which is good science. The descriptive part is helpful. It's quality. they're looking at the ratio of the width to the, you know, to the diameter, to the length, and basically a whole array of metrics on each individual bone. And then they're comparing that, those bones and all the metrics within, you know, that they've gathered from that bone with other bones of interest, including chimpanzees and humans and other extinct apes and fossils and everything else. And then they're trying to figure out where does this fit. But the whole question that they're asking is the wrong question. They're asking, where does this lie in the evolution of apes to man? That's what they're asking. So do you see how that could be a circular, a biased approach?
Explain that for us, if you would.
Yeah, so I'm looking at this research question, and I'm thinking, why are we asking where it fits in the evolutionary lineup if the evolutionary lineup only exists in our imagination and does not exist in the actual fossils? And the reason I don't think it exists in the actual fossils is because for every transitional form that one guy says and promotes, another evolutionist comes by and says, no, that's not transitional. In fact, that's been said about already. So we have the guys who are against it and the guys who are for it being transitional. And if it was objective, repeatable science, like testing gravity by dropping a pen on the floor, you could do that as many times as you want. You know, we can verify this with an experiment. These guys are telling stories. And so the reason I know they're telling stories is because they just go back and forth. And it depends on what they want to see more than what they actually do see. So all that to say that they use circular reasoning by assuming evolution first, and then they try to fit the data into that assumption. And that's just bad science. Let's let the fossils just be fossils. Let's examine them and measure them, sure, and compare them, sure, that's fun. But, you know, what if it was just an extinct ape and it has nothing to do with evolution? That doesn't even enter their minds. It should, because that's exactly what the data show.
I'm fascinated. I'm looking at the original article as it appeared in that special edition that you mentioned, and they have first a big picture of two of these specimens laid out in approximate anatomical relationship. Basically, the bones that they do have are laid out as they probably would have been associated with one another. And then a little bit later in the very same article, there is a picture, a life reconstruction of Australopithecus sediba from the University of Michigan Museum of Natural History. And they've added something here, namely the feet. There are feet for neither of these fossil records, but they've given Australopithecus sediba essentially human feet. How do they assert that? How do they come to that conclusion?
In other words, you're asking, how do we get human feet onto a reconstruction of a fossil when the original fossil had no foot bones?
Exactly.
And that's your question. And so you want me to answer that for them on their behalf? That's my question for them, too. How do you get human feet on this thing? There's no... They did the same thing with Lucy. So they're used to this process of wanting to show what they want to see, and so they reconstruct, you know, Lucy, which is a different variety of Australopithecus, extinct ape. The thing was only, you know, 4 feet tall. Sediba is even smaller than chimps. It's just a little bitty thing, 77 pounds or so. Modern chimps being 90, 100 pounds. But they reconstructed these Lucy, this Australopithecine ape, with human feet, you know, and I've taken pictures of it at different museums around the country, and I just marvel how they can put these human feet on a fossil that doesn't have any foot bones. Obviously, they want it to be there, so they put it there. And it's more important to them to portray the illusion of ancestry, of transitional form from ape to man, than it is to represent the facts of the fossils themselves.
Brian Thomas is our guest on this Tuesday afternoon, January the 22nd. We're talking about the claimed discovery of a missing link in human evolution. He's a science writer for the Institute for Creation Research, has a bachelor's degree in biology and a master's in biotechnology from Stephen F. Austin State University. He's also author of the book Dinosaurs and the Bible. We'll talk more with him after this.
Can we break out of the grind? We're destined to be Darwin's. Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you make a New Year's resolution to get in shape this year? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness at Edwardsville. You could even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness can help you keep your New Year's resolution. Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. PerformanceFitness618.com.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the claimed discovery of a missing link in human evolution. Brian Thomas, science writer for the Institute for Creation Research, is our guest. Brian, you were mentioning before how there's always a back and forth in the evolutionary community where someone will claim they found a transitional form and they're challenged by someone else who says, no, that doesn't convince me. I'm not seeing what you see there. In a sense, I'm very glad that they're policing themselves in that sense. That's really what decent scientists ought to do. But we were talking before the break about these life reconstructions that add things like human-looking feet to maybe a 3.5-foot ape-like creature. Surely, when the honest evolutionist goes to a museum and sees one of these, he's got to think, well, we don't really have any evidence for that part.
You'd think so, and maybe they do, but I don't know what goes on, you know, between their ears sometimes. What motivates a person? We do have unique and rare admission of the motivation behind one of these paleo artists, what these people are called, who make reconstructions based on fossils. John Gersh did one for National Geographic. He said, I wanted to put a soul into its face to give people an image or an idea of where it was headed, which is to say, where this creature was headed on its evolutionary trek toward mankind. And so that's why we see these creepy, scary-looking models that have human eyes. You know, by the way, human eyes are unique. We have the sclera, the white of our eyes, is visible from far away. So you can communicate with other people, and only people, by just simply moving your eyes around, whereas animals, they move their whole head to show where they're looking. We can just move our eyes. And so we have a whole dimension of communication that's just based on eyes. It's uniquely human. And they place human eyes in ape heads, and it's like watching the movies Planet of the Apes and all this kind of weirdness. It's all imagination. The fossils don't preserve eyeballs and everything else in the anatomy of the Australopithecines, for example, the one under discussion today in the news today. It's ape-like. It's all ape-like. And so you have curved finger bones. You've got a barrel chest. You've got a rigid spine. Ape, ape, ape. And yet they have to stick these human eyes in there and human feet so that we get the impression that it's a transition when in fact it may never have been. It may just be an extinct variety of ape, which is what I think it was.
So you had mentioned before Lucy, which is often referred to, and I think the archaeological evidence for Lucy being a precursor to the human species is even flimsier than what we're seeing here in this latest claim, transitional form. Why does Lucy have such staying power in the kind of the narrative of human evolution?
That's a tough one. One answer I could give is Lucy has staying power because the name is easy to remember. That's important. You know, would you rather walk around and talk to your, you know, talk to the guys around the water cooler and say, hey, they found this fossil Lucy, or hey, they found this fossil Australopithecus sediba. What? So there's just a communicatability of the name. Another is they're just desperate for a transition, and so they have to fill the gap of an expected evolutionary transition between apes and man with something. And so they have to throw a Lucy in there, which is Australopithecus afarensis. So this, why the staying power? It's got a cute name. It fills a perceived gap, a perceived need for evidence. Even though the evidence, if you look into it, if you peel back the layers, as it were, like you said, you find that Lucy also had curved fingers, ape like this, ape like that. It was an extinct variety of ape.
So at some point does, because they've shown themselves adept at rewriting the script several times as often as they can or need to, at some point do they abandon the search for transitional forms and admit that maybe they need to go back to the drawing board, in essence abandon Darwin's argument that they must exist, we just haven't found them yet?
Well, I'm sure that has happened. It's pretty rare, though. But if you think about what's at stake here, there's a big picture, big worldview issue at stake. Okay, and if I, let's say I'm an evolutionary paleoanthropologist, okay, like Lee Berger, the promoter of these set of fossils, what's at stake for me? First of all, if I can promote these fossils, and if I can get, which he's done masterfully over the last decade and more, not just these, but other fossils, then I can get recognition and fame. You know, he took a tour around the world just a couple of years ago, and he made Dallas, which is where we're based, the Institute for Creation Research here in Dallas. He came to Dallas, so some of us went to go see him. He's like a rock star, and he's got all this money and fame, and it's wonderful. He's got to you know, keep producing this machine. He's got to feed that beast of money and fame, and so that's a motivating factor. It's, you know, these scientists are people. They're not just, you know, Dr. Spock robots who follow the evidence exactly where it leads. No, there's other motivations. There's even spiritual motivations. For example, if I look at the evidence, I'm a evolutionary paleoanthropologist, and I finally give up after a lifetime of searching because I realize it's just not there. There is no bona fide, objectively discernible transitional form. It's just not there. That means what I'm left with is an extinct variety of ape and then humans. And so that's a very creation and Bible and Genesis friendly conclusion, because the Bible says God created each of these creatures to reproduce after its own kind, not to morph between kinds as evolution asserts. And so what does that mean? It means the Bible's right. If the Bible's right about history, then the Bible's right about what it says about my sin and my soul and my need for a salvation, and I don't want to admit that. So really there's a spiritual connection to sort of inform the biases and belief systems that my secular colleagues have.
Brian Thomas is a science writer for the Institute for Creation Research. He has a bachelor's degree in biology and a master's in biotechnology from Stephen F. Austin State University. And he's author of the book Dinosaurs and the Bible. You can find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
I appreciate it, Todd.
On the other side of the break, we're going to take up the remembrance of Saints Timothy and Titus, often remembered together, on the 24th and 26th of January. Dr. Thomas Winger, President and Professor of New Testament at Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary in Canada and author of the Concordia Commentary on Ephesians. He'll be our guest after this.
For
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor, and today there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armedforces. The LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces.
Oh, morning star, oh, morning star, shine with a bright glow.
Listen to the best of the Church's music for the Epiphany season at lutheranpublicradio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The recent unprecedented decline in American Christianity has been well documented. But what can we as Lutherans do about it? This question is at the heart of the Lutheran Witness's January issue on missions and evangelism. Start to finish, readers will encounter faith, courage, conviction, and the assurance that, as Victor Raj puts it, in the church, ministry and mission always go together. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Lord is our shepherd, and we are the people of his pasture. Why then do we still suffer in this life? Disease, loneliness, persecution. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm collaborating with Cheryl Swope, Molly Hemingway, and a host of literary friends in He Restores My Soul, a book that takes an honest look at hardship and heartache in light of God's promises found in his word. He Restores My Soul is now available at emmanuelpress.us, emmanuelpress.us.
Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations.